Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode 4 of the Simple Life Works podcast. I'm really happy that you've chosen to spend a few moments of your valuable time with me today. Before we get into the show, just one last reminder. If you live in the Northwest Arkansas area and you've always kind of wondered, like, man, what is the deal with this minimalism thing? Teaching a workshop on Tuesday, March 28th at 6:30. It's called Minimalism 101, the Essential Getting Started Guide for Getting By with Less. It's at the Mindfulness Studio. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit and a little more when we get to my guest. Runs roughly 90 minutes, and you can sign up or learn more about it by going to imindfulnwa.com, imindfulnwa.com. Click the What We Offer tab in the menu and then select or click Special Events and Workshops. You'll be able to find a description and a link to sign up from there. Okay, today's guest is Jaya Margos. She is the owner of iMindful Studio in Bentonville, Arkansas, and was one of the first people I connected with when I was looking to formalize a little bit this thing I'm doing. My show and speaking career on simplification and minimalism. And her approach to things is a little different. I'd never heard of it before meeting Jay. So most people know, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you either agree with or are coming around to the idea that simplification, meditation, mindfulness can be helpful in your life. Simplification is really just a tool, right? We reduce the clutter, and that allows us to be more mindful in the things that we do throughout the day. So it's really just a stepping stone to making it easier to be mindful about your actions and your thoughts and what you have around you during the day. So Jay, in the interview, she goes into the background and how she came around to it, but she practices mindfulness-based stress reduction. And it is it's interesting because it's a clinical approach. I think most people, when we think of mindfulness, we think of meditation, we think of yoga studios, and we think of places where, again, people, they have to have training to do it, right? Being a yoga instructor is tough. You have to have certification. But the mindfulness part is almost a secondary benefit to the main activity, to the yoga, to whatever it is. Jay, years ago, needed help with becoming more mindful for a few reasons she'll get into. And she found this practice called MBSR, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. It is a clinical approach founded by Jon Kabat-Zinn. I think it goes all the way back to the 60s or early 70s. You can Google it. I've actually got a few things pulled up here. I just can't find the right tab. But it's been, you know, gone through the scientific method where they show that people who practice mindfulness can reduce their stress. Dan Harris, who is a reporter and anchor on Good Morning America, actually found his own way to mindfulness and to meditation. He, when people asked him why he did it, you know, he was like, oh, you know, I feel better. And they couldn't quite get it. So he just started saying, it makes me 10% happier. And they were like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I really need to do that. And, you know, he did not scientifically measure that. He was just like, it feels like 10%. Well, in MBSR, they did do some measurements, and I can't quote you what they are right now, but they showed where after an 8 to 12 week period of training by someone who's been trained and certified in MBSR, like Jay, people have quantifiably less stress in their life and are able to institute a practice where they can maintain those lower stress levels going forward, as long as they keep up the mindfulness activities. So, super stoked to have Jay on the show today. I think it's going to be awesome. I hope you get a lot out of it. And let's get to it.
This is Simple Life Works, a weekly podcast where we discuss ways to minimize stress and anxiety through simplification and a reduction of the physical and mental clutter we all feel in our lives. My name is Brad Lawless. Each week, I'll bring you real stories from people doing good, simple works that improve their lives, meaningfully connect with others, and contribute to their communities. Working together, I know we can change the world one simple act at a time. Let's get started.
What's your story? You've told me before, but you know, how did you get from corporate / entrepreneurial life to owning a business around mindfulness?
So the journey goes back to about 2006. And I was a young career person in the banking industry. I started very young in banking, 1998, and worked through the corporate ladder in a banking environment. And I did everything that you can imagine. But in 2006, I was hit with a bad depression, to the point that it really knocked me down. I mean, just when you say, you know, knocked me down to my knees type of experience. And I was referred to a psychologist, and I was diagnosed with clinical depression. Have been suffering for a while, just based on my personality, type I personality, very driven, very strong. I was what you call a functioning depressed person. So
I would wager there are probably more
people. There's more of us than you can think, right?
Because most people go, life is stressful now.
That's right.
I'm just going to deal with it.
That's right. So I was very functional. Deep inside, I was dying. You know, what you saw on the outside was not in any way aligning with the inside. But I kept going, and a lot of responsibilities, both in my career and as a mother of a child with autism. And my in-laws had just moved from Puerto Rico to Arkansas to live with us. So just a lot of pressure as a young career woman. And just became extremely depressed and went through, you know, the depression caused a lot of damage, not only to myself physically, but financially to the family. And when I was referred to this psychologist, she suggested that I take on meditation. And I said, okay, I'll look into it. And I looked into it and I said, okay, maybe I can give this a try. And I started practicing and, you know, kept my practice for a very long time. And, you know, left the banking world in about 2010, went into nonprofit, too slow for me, coming from a corporate environment, too fast or too slow. So I needed to find that balance, went and opened a startup with a colleague, and it did super good, and traveling a lot, about 49 out of 52 weeks of the year, and it was brutal. And I became really ill in late 2011, just extremely ill physically, a lot of pain in my body, just a lot of things that doctors could not find out, you know, what was going on. And there was suspicion that it was lupus because I have a lot of family history. My mom has, there's seven of them, and five of my aunts have lupus. So I was diagnosed with lupus in 2012, and I had to leave the job that I was doing because I was a chief operating officer, and obviously the company was growing tremendously, and I just wasn't the person that I needed, so that they needed. So through that journey, I came across Startup Junkie, and that was probably one of the best things that have happened to my career because it really got me into the entrepreneurial environment, and I learned a lot, and I was able to utilize a lot of my skills.
Startup Junkie is basically a company or an organization that helps startups,
yeah,
find the resources they need,
yes,
to go from having a great idea to actually having a business,
a company that's generating income,
a larger gap than most people realize.
Correct, a big time. As I learned. So. But going back to 2012 when I was diagnosed, so lupus is in my nervous system. So obviously the amount of pain that my body was enduring was just out of control. Yeah. And I wanted to find something that was more holistic because obviously, you know, what's out there, it wasn't what I needed. And I just felt, you know, I want to continue to be active, and I just don't want to go into a treatment that's really going to take the life away from me.
Sure.
And so I started doing some research, and my husband started doing some research, and so we went a holistic approach. So I started from a medications that they put me in, I was able finally to get off of seven and was doing one, and everything else I was doing. Now, this is not for everyone because you have to be extremely careful, and we took a big risk. But we did. My husband did a lot of research on natural herbs and Chinese herbs and a lot of things that could help me that would take away the pain in a natural way. But it wasn't enough. So I kept doing research, and I came across mindfulness-based stress reduction, developed in 1979 by Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn out of the University of Massachusetts. And he developed this specific program to help people that were suffering from chronic illnesses, pain, anxiety, depression.
So it's not just meditation.
No.
I mean, obviously part of it, but it's a clinical approach.
It's a clinical approach, yeah. And it's done in several ways. So through meditation, sitting meditation, body scan, walking meditation, hatha yoga, mindful movements. And then, of course, it's a lifestyle that you just incorporate into your everyday life. And so he developed this 8-week program and started testing it with over, I believe, 200 patients at the hospital. And we were seeing a lot of changes, not so much in the pain, but the way people were dealing with this pain. The perspective was changing, right? And through this therapy, he found that people were becoming more positive. They were healing better. They were dealing better with the suffering, with life circumstances, becoming more responsive versus reactive, gaining more emotional intelligence, looking at your pain with, you know, an open mind, looking and accepting all experiences as they would come. And 37 years, you know, later, the mindfulness-based stress reduction is offered in about 720 clinics, hospitals, and studios such as ours around the world in about 30 countries. So this is not something new. And, you know, the more I became a student of it, the more I fell in love with it. And the more my life changed and my approach to life, and a lot of things started making more sense. And I became a student of the practice, and then I became an actual student, getting every certification, reading every book, signing up for every workshop that I could find online, and just became a daily habit, a daily part of my life that I just could not live without it. Because the minute, the day that I would not do it, I immediately would notice how I would become right, would become more autopilot and less aware. And I'm a very reactive person, so I could notice that immediately. So it really became a true part of my life. And, you know, through Startup Junkie and being every day spending time with entrepreneurs, and I became bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. And I said, you know, to my husband, I think this is something that I want to share with people that I want to do. I don't know how you can turn a business out of this. I don't know how people would, you know, would, if people would actually pay for something like this here, but I want to explore that. So I started exploring it. Late March, early April.
Of 2016.
I started doing a lot of focus groups with people, just, you know, grab friends, people that I knew. Just, I did about 10 focus groups, interview over 120 people, and they were all saying that they would actually do this, and they couldn't believe that nothing like this was here. But learning from the startup environment, people actually say one thing, and when it's time for them to act, not always transfer into, a sale. So I said, okay, I'll have to start little by little and see what happens. So we found a very small studio, and we opened, and it wasn't going very well. One, because I have my full-time job, and two, because I just, you know, I was spending a lot of time educating people about what mindfulness was and what it's, you know, what it is and what it wasn't. So one day I came across this gentleman that I knew for 2 years now. as part of the CEO forum that Tim McFarland does. And this gentleman's name is Ramsey Ball. And, you know, Ramsey, I know Ramsey now for 2 years. And he lets me tell the story, obviously. And Ramsey was the type of guy that always sit at the corner, very quiet, you know, very observant in the meetings, always very attentive, but didn't say much. And this day we were going around the table saying what we were supposed to, you know, what we were doing and what we were working on. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about the studio and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just talk about this. But then I got really fearful and I said, no, don't say that. Just talk about something that's going on at Startup Junkie or whatever. So I have made the decision that I wasn't going to say anything about the studio.
I can relate to that
like people are going to think I'm cooking.
Well, because I'm doing these other things and I've got this podcast thing I'm starting, right? And actually, this will be my business. But then people go, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, wait, I've got clients who are paying me right now. So, I need to tell you about this. And then at the end, I'm like, I should have mentioned the thing I really care about.
Yeah, exactly. But mine was more about fear of what would people think?
Well, sure. That's it too, though, because I love this. And you don't want to go, hey, this is, how about this thing? Let me tell you. And then have them go, well, that's stupid.
I know.
Not that anyone would, but that's the
fear. Yeah, but you don't know. In their minds, maybe they are saying so. You know, I was determined I wasn't going to say anything. And when my time came around, the first thing that came out of my mouth was mindfulness.
You kind of have to take the leap.
Yeah. I didn't plan on it. I think it was meant to be. And that's what was in my heart and in my mind. And I just started, I have a mindfulness studio and blah, 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 blah. And Ramsey almost jumps out of the corner and he was like, mindfulness? We need to talk. So I was like, okay, you know, what got into him today or whatever. And so a week later we're meeting. And, you know, Ramsey said, hey, you know, I've been trying to get into mindfulness, but I can't do it on my own. I have all these books and I just can't get into it. I want to hire you to become my teacher. And I said, oh, my gosh, that would be amazing. Actually, you're my first private client. So 12 weeks later, you know, Ramsey's telling me how much has changed his life and his wife is telling me how much he loves his practice and how he's changed in so many ways. And Ramsey just says, you know, I really believe in this and I love everything about what you're doing. I want to invest in your company. And the rest was history. We got that boost from an angel investor. Mm-hmm. Ramsey started referring a whole lot of people. And I guess when you get your first and your second client, there's a level of confidence that you get, right?
Yeah, it feels like a real thing.
Like, okay, yeah, there's people out there that actually believe in this. So that gave me a lot of confidence to really say, you know what, this helped me. This helped Ramsey. It's helped my son. It's helped so many people around the world. Obviously, you know, this is real. There's so much science behind it. So I'm really going to do this. And so I started to get really busy. We started to get people in the studio. By the end of July, I had probably about 12 private clients and not able to keep up. And so I made the transition completely to iMindful and it's been amazing ever since. Then in October, we get a call from the number one company in the world which it was crazy because we had Walmart on our business plan for the second year because we thought, we'll never get in there the first year or whatever. But actually they called us from the Walton Life Fitness Center. They had a lot of associates that were asking about mindfulness. And they said that they Googled mindfulness in Northwest Arkansas and we came out.
And you're the only, you're the number one returner.
We were the number one on the top. And of course there were others, you know, like, you know, the studios and other that was showing us part of that. But they decided to call us and they asked me to come in and do a demo. And I did. And they gave me a 12-week pilot and I did it. Then they called us from David Glass and we did another 12-week pilot. And last of December, they call, and I met with some of the executives, and they decided to hire us for the entire year of 2017. So, you know, that's it's been an amazing experience. I'm extremely thankful to, you know, companies such as Acorn and Collective Bias and White Spider and Walmart that gave us an opportunity. They were the first companies to open the doors to us, Whole Foods and Samsung. And, you know, they believed in what we did. They opened the doors. They allowed us to come in. But I have to say, Walmart was the one that really gave us the boost of confidence that we needed. So as a small business, that was huge for us. And it's been an amazing journey, and we have grown, and it was time to open a studio here because the market just kept taking us to Bentonville, Rogers area. And we needed a bigger studio, period. We started in a 203 square footage. Yeah. A little bit bigger than this office that we're in. Okay, that's it. And now we have 1,100, which is amazing. And when we have a lot of people in here, we're like, oh, this is kind of tiny. But, you know, when you come from a 200 square feet and we saw this space, we're like, oh, my gosh, this is.
We'll never use it all.
Woo, this is going to be so much space. And now we're like, oh, wow, we got to knock down some walls fast.
So now you've got your studio here. You're doing you got your mindfulness classes, consultation, but also offering yoga classes.
We are. We
some ancillary services.
We offer yoga, but we do focus on the, like, hatha yoga, mindful movements, alignment, restorative.
Yeah. Not like hot yoga.
We don't do hot yoga or hot flow. That align with the mindfulness practice. There's a lot of yoga studios that are doing amazing out there, and they're very good at hot yoga. There was no reason for us to get into that. We really want to do something that would align with the practice of mindfulness. At the end of the day, that's our mission, right? To make Northwest Arkansas more mindful. So we needed to stick to what we're good at and what we know.
That's how you and I found each other.
That's right.
Myself deeper into simplification, but also help other people find it. But that's really just kind of a tool, the same way yoga is a tool to become mindful, right?
Remove
the distractions that you have in your environment, and then there's less to pull you away, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit about your students, your clients. Like, when they come to you, what are the biggest challenges they're dealing with? And then what do they feel some of the biggest benefits or, you know, things they see in their life once they go through 6, 8, 10
weeks? So, of course, the number one reason we see clients are because they're stressed, right? And that's not surprising.
Not surprised.
80% of the population, you know, is stressed. So the problem is that a lot of people can manage stress or deal with stress. And then there's some that they've gotten to that final limit, that stress is becoming a health hazard.
Yeah, and I would say I've been that person.
On and off. I've been there too.
But I would say the majority of the people, the other people that manage, and I'm using air quotes, people that can't see me, you know, we manage through distraction. It's pick your distraction, right? It can be TV, it can be food, it can be
work. Busy, all day long.
Workaholics, you go, it's so important, I have to be here.
Yeah, constantly.
I think that is societally we manage stress, but honestly, it manages us more
often. It does, it manages us, and when we think we're managing it, we are most of the time choosing something that's not healthy. Because if you're working, you know, I don't know, 70, 100 hours a week, and you're not finding time to be with your family or do things that are fun, and you're constantly being distracted, right? And a lot of people do that because they don't want to deal with what's in their mind,
right?
or what's the reality, the scary stuff that really freaks us all out. So that's a way for people to cope with it. So, you know, the people that come to us either are dealing with a crazy amount of stress, they're borderline depressive. They're dealing with some anxiety. Because one of the things that we have to be extremely careful, and we owe that, you know, as a professional and as a human being, to be able to guard and protect people from us doing something that we're not trained to do. So if that makes sense. So, you know, for the group classes, we don't go deep. You know, we teach mindfulness and we teach techniques. But when you go deep one-on-one with a person, there is an assessment that I have my clients take, because I need to measure and be able to understand if it's something that me as a mindful professional, as a mindful teacher, I'm going to be able to handle.
Sure.
Because there's cases that you really need to stay with your professional psychologist or counselor. And we work very closely with all of them. And I've had a few people that I've had to say, you either need to really go see a counselor or a psychologist, or you need to keep up with your regimen of your psychologist or your counselor. So we need to make sure of that, right? Because there's mindfulness is a beautiful thing, but if the person is not ready to deal with that amount of awareness, and when things start coming out and up to the front, and if you're not ready, it can create a lot of issues.
Well, a lifetime of denial is a very hard thing to,
you know,
like you're saying, the awareness is great, but you don't necessarily have the internal.
Yeah. You're not ready to deal. If you don't have emotional balance, right, to be able to deal with some of the things that are going to come, then it's best that you stay with somebody that is a licensed psychologist or a counselor. So that's the first thing we do with a private client. We do that assessment. I have, you know, the first session is completely free because that's my time to see and talk to them and converse and make sure that we're a good match. And if we are, we do anywhere from an 8 or 12 week program, and, you know, to set them up for life. The idea is when they leave here at 12 weeks, this is a practice that they can incorporate for the rest of their life. But there's a big commitment, both financially and personally, because the time commitment and mindfulness is like any other skill. You have to practice it. You have to be committed to it. If you don't practice, you know, the brain is a muscle. And basically, we're retraining our brain through mindfulness. So it's extremely important that the person is 100% committed to this. So we see, you know, we see a lot of people that, again, for the most part, depression, anxiety, a lot of stress. But then we also see people that they just want to enjoy life more, you know, they lived an okay life and they're like, this can be it. You know, how do I just triplify what I'm living, and how do I start paying more attention to my kids and giving time for myself? And so really people that just want to enjoy a fulfilled life, which is really what we all should be doing. Right.
Yep. So to that end, describe time, you mentioned one of the first exercises you do in a group class.
Yes.
Is mindful eating. So talk about why people even need to do that.
Because it's the simplest way that you can teach people mindfulness, to understand what it's like to be in the present moment in full awareness. So we do it with, the common exercise that's practiced in mindfulness-based stress reduction is with a raisin, but I find that so boring. So I had to give it my own twist. So we do it with chocolate. And, you know, for the most part, when you eat a piece of chocolate, you open it, you put it in your mouth, you chew it, you swallow it. That's it. Well, we go through a 5 to 7 minute exercise where the person is eating the chocolate between 5 and 7 minutes. And that's a long time to eat a little tiny piece of chocolate. But we bring the awareness of, you know, how in 5 minutes you can enjoy such a simple thing and bring joyfulness and awareness to your life by just doing something so simple. And by them experiencing that, being in the moment, tasting the chocolate, smelling it, savoring it, letting it melt in their mouth, then they actually have a moment in present, in the present moment, where they're experiencing something that it's like, wow, I never thought that chocolate would taste like that. Or
that's funny. That reminded me, I hated it at the time, but my freshman comp class, I was an English major, so I was in an advanced class, and I thought I was a good and this guy who was a bit of a tyrant, but we learned a lot from it. I mean, just that was the experience I had. It was one of those things where when you're in it, not so much fun, but afterward you go, okay, I'm
better. That was worth it, yeah.
Put an apple on the table and was like, describe it. I don't think I wrote like 6-7 sentences. But the assignment coming out of that was that you had to write 500 words about the apple. And it was the most painful thing in the world until you started paying more attention. You looked at how does the light play across its skin? What is the texture?
So many elements.
Right? How does it contrast against the table that it's sitting on? Or, you know, that you try to think about all those different things. Take a bite of it. How does it taste? Is it juicy? Is it dry? Is it same thing, right?
Yeah,
some of the same skills that then translate. And I think your clients probably see that. I know when I slow down writing is easier, yeah. Then you focus. I like to say multitasking is a myth.
It is. It's been proven now by MRI technology.
For humans, at least. Maybe not for computers.
Yeah, but
we all do that thing, right? Let's have a video playing here and a thing here, and I'm going to type on that.
Correct.
When you're mindful, you can slow down and you focus, and you actually get, on the course of the day, more things done.
You get so much more things done.
Because you're able to just check them off one by one.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. I mean, that chocolate exercise is just like that. You know, we even make them go and think of the person who picked up this cocoa bean and, you know, think of them in the farm and the sacrifice.
Exactly,
you know,
right?
All of those things.
Same thing. What did the apple look like on the tree?
Yeah,
you're totally trying to think about that whole life experience.
It's an experience, right? We take a lot of things for granted. And so it's just a moment to be still. And again, life cannot be all the time where you're just sitting there and enjoying a piece of chocolate for 5 to 7 minutes. But the idea is, and the principle is to bring that awareness, to train your mind to start becoming more aware, right? So you can start paying attention and also make time for those moments that we all need for stillness and quiet and to have mental clarity and really think about the things that truly matter in life. And that's mindfulness is a fancy word for awareness, being present. That's all.
So, I like to listen. And
you want to talk about the two things, how we're utilizing this space. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And then also for the iMindful Gives Back. That you are a community member and partner,
yeah, so tell,
and we
tell
really appreciate
little,
that.
Thank you. Yeah, so talk about the space that you just got. Today's your grand opening.
Yeah, we have
very
a grand
exciting
today, yes.
So, yeah, what's a normal day or normal week here in the studio?
So one of the things that I wanted to do, just because I come from that startup environment and I learned so much from being in that type of space every day for 2.5 years. I learned that, you know, entrepreneurs, for the most part, besides money and funding, they need people that support and believe in them, right? And that can teach them. And so I decided that one of the things that we were going to do with this space was use it as almost as an incubator for people that wanted to do their own businesses in the health and well-being industry. So, for example, two of our instructors, they formed their own company called Agape Yoga Studio. And
I was wondering about that because I knew Maggie taught, and then all of a sudden I see they have their own thing. I'm that's really cool.
So they're a traveling yoga company, right? And they take yoga everywhere. But we hire them to be I'm an expert in mindfulness, not in yoga. I'm not an instructor. I didn't get training.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in that, but I knew I needed to offer that to my clients.
Sure.
Right. And I love collaboration. So I thought there's three females, women owned company. They're starting, they're young ladies. And so I said, I want to help them. I want to work with them. They're amazing at what they do. So, you know, we brought them in they offer all of our yoga and mindful movement classes. And at the same time, we're giving them exposure. They're helping us serve a need that we have for our clients. And I told them, you know, they can be in here and learn everything from me, my mistakes, my successes. And so that has been really interesting. And I love doing that. We have another person that owns Tiny Sports Academy. She focuses just on yoga for kids and tennis.
Oh, very cool.
So we're using her to deliver all of our mindfulness, meditation, and yoga classes for kids. So also, we brought her in. She's helping us meet a need. We're helping her, become more successful in her business. And we have several other people that we're doing the same thing with them. So that gives me such happiness and pleasure just to be able to know that I can have this space thanks to the help of my mentors and investors and companies that supported us. So not only I want to use it to provide mindfulness education and practice to our community, but also to help other people become successful.
Which I personally appreciate, because I've actually, the podcast I just found out is publishing today. So on the three episodes there, I've been plugging the minimalism workshop that I'm going to do here.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I don't know how many people have come to the first one, but it'll be...
We'll get it out there, right? It's a topic that people are very interested about.
One of those things we get going.
Yeah. So that's something
totally
that we
excited.
Do. Yeah, I mean, an expert such as yourself in minimalism, so we wouldn't be able to afford to have somebody like you in-house. But through collaboration and partnership, we can offer that to our clients.
For me, starting out, it's great to have a sympathetic audience, right? It's a group that's already sort of tuned into wanting to know more about this.
Yeah, yeah. So that was very important to us to do with the space. And then another thing is we have the iMindful Gives Back Foundation, which provides free education and practice to public schools, firefighters, law enforcement, and veterans, and other nonprofits that, they're not able to afford to either bring in the practice people that really need it. And we didn't want them to go through all the hassle or red tape or trying to get a budget for this. So we just said, nope, we're just going to offer that for free. And we did a fundraising. We got what we call community partners. Thank you for being one of them. And without those 35 people that are committed for a whole year to support this, we would be able to do that type of the job, philanthropic part of iMindful. And then we have other things, such as the chocolate bar that we created with Hello Cocoa. Mm-hmm. That we use in our practice. All the proceeds from that go to the foundation, and we have other fun things that we're doing. So we can continue to support the work of the foundation. And really the income that we get from that is to pay our instructors. Because the last thing you want to do is send instructors out there without paying them, right? We have plenty of people that would do that, but it's just not right to do. So, again, it's not a lot of overhead when it comes to the foundation part. You just want to support the instructors. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. So, the current mission of what I'm doing is always under a bit of evolution, but it's to change the world through simple acts of mindful connection. Yes. So, obviously, people can come here. They can be with you for 10, 12 weeks. They can do. But what's if someone says, "Hey Jay, what's one simple thing I can do to make my day go a little more smoothly?"
Absolutely. The one thing that I would tell them and that I tell my clients is when your alarm goes off in the morning, don't just get up or reach for your phone, which most of us, right, have that phone next to our nightstand.
It is my alarm. What are you talking about?
Or if it is your alarm, you turn it off. And you give yourself some space between waking up and stepping, putting that first foot on the ground, to just sit there and, scan the room that you're in, take a deep breath, and just reflect on what your day is going to look like. Take an intention, How do you want to change people's life today? Or how do you want to be a better person? Or how am I going to impact my associates today? Whatever that is. Or how am I going to spend more time with my family? Pick an intention. Give yourself a couple of minutes just to sit there, just to settle in. do a few deep breaths, and then get up and start your day. But for the most part, I know because I did it. I would hear my alarm. I would pick up my phone. I would start reading emails, texts, going on social media to see how many likes I got on the comment that I posted the day before. Or I used to do that. And it's exhausting if you're doing that the minute you get up, because you know you're going to end up doing that the rest of your day, right? So allow that space before you even start your day to just be there, be present, listen to your breath, you know, look out in the room that you're in, just take it all in and figure out how you're going to make the day different. And then you can get up and do what you want to do and read emails. But you should give yourself that space from the moment you open your eyes just to be in stillness, even if it's just 2 minutes. Yeah.
Well, congratulations again on the great opening tonight. Thanks for making the time today.
No, thank you for having the interest in talking to me about this. Appreciate it.
And that does it for this episode of the Simple Life Works podcast. I appreciate you spending some of your time with me today, trusting me with that time. I hope you found, at the very least, some tips for simplifying in your life and maybe a little inspiration as well for your personal journey toward less clutter and better connections with the people in your life. A couple of notes. If you found your way to this podcast through a web link or maybe on Facebook and you like it, please go subscribe. We are hosted on, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, basically anywhere that podcasts can be found. If you have a podcast player that you prefer and we're not on there, please send me a note and I'll be happy to reach out to that service and get us listed for you. Also, go to the website, simplelifeworks.com. I have a weekly newsletter with posts that I've found. I'll let you know every time a new podcast episode comes out in that newsletter. And also, whenever I have speaking engagements or workshops coming up, that if you're interested in that, those will be publicized in that newsletter as well. You can go to simplelifeworks.com, click newsletter in the menu, and subscribe from there. If you would like some personal training, I'm available for that, personal coaching, or if you think your company or team would benefit from a workshop on simplification and minimalism, I would love to come talk or speak to any group you have. Please reach out to me, simplelifeworks.com. Click the contact tab. Let me know what's going on. We will make it happen. That is it for me. Again, I am Brad Lawless. This is Simple Life Works. I wish you well on your journey. Until next week.